All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're finishing up another show, our last segment, but it looks to me like, you know, I get long-winded, and chances are we're not going to get through all this because I'm only on number two, and there's six of them, and that's the risk that go into retirement. The first one is debt and what you need to be doing. How do we go reduce debt prior to retirement so we can do things? The next big expense could be health care. As a quick review, $285,000 is the average cost of health care from age 65 on. So what you want to be thinking about is, you know, we got to have that built into our plan. And so it sounds like a lot, but I mean, if you lived in 90, I mean, it's still like, you know, $1,000 a month. So, I mean, that's a lot of money that goes into health care. If you're married, that's $2,000 a month. So you got to keep that in mind. And then I talked about long-term care insurance. Long-term care insurance is what I call asset protection. Now, asset protection, there's a lot of things that we do for asset protection. For instance, we buy liability insurance. And what liability insurance does is, if you're in an auto accident or somebody falls off your front porch or your dog bites them or, you know, whatever it may be, you buy asset protection, and that's liability insurance. And then if somebody comes after you and sues you, the insurance company, you set aside a percentage of your income in order to protect the big hit. All right. Another thing that we do, we buy health insurance because health insurance can blow our plans up, because next thing you know, we have a big healthcare, you know, expense. We buy medical insurance, and that's kind of asset protection, that kind of deal. And then we have long-term care insurance, and that's the real asset protection. And so when you buy long-term care insurance, you might go in and you say, well, based on everything that I have saved, my retirement plan, my Social Security, the fact that I've, you know, got some, you know, maybe a rental property, whatever it may be, I've got about $8,000 a month coming in, do nothing money for the sake of it, investment money. And so $8,000 a month, I can live good at retirement. It's great retirement, that kind of deal. But if one of us were to go in the nursing home, it would cost $4,000 a month. Well, and my minimum expenses are $5,000. As it stands for the two of us, now my expenses are going to be $1,000 more than I'm bringing in. I've got X amount of dollars. Do I have enough money to fund that without depleting all my savings? And you say, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll buy a four-year, $2,000 a month long-term care insurance policy. And what it says is, here's a bucket. It'll pay up to $100,000 in long-term care. Or you buy $4,000 a month for 4 years, or you buy it for 5 years, whatever it is. So you can buy these different long-term care policies. And what they do is they have a big bucket of money, and that big bucket of money is maybe $300,000. And so you buy $300,000 of long-term care insurance, and the maximum it'll pay is $5,000 a month, whatever that may be. So if you did that, you say, well, I got a five-year, $5,000 a month plan. The most it'll pay is $5,000, and but it'll pay up to $300,000. It's going to cost me X number of dollars a month. I'm going to start on it now. Keep in mind, most long-term care, you know, people use it at the tail end of their life. And so what you're doing is you're setting money aside every single month in order to do that. And so that's how long-term care works. It will provide for in-home health. It'll provide for assisted living. And ultimately, it will provide for if you go in an actual nursing home. All right. And generally, you get a better discount on it if you're married and you both purchase it, because in that case, you're kind of your own caregiver for your spouse. And in most instances, people would rather stay home anyway. Insurance company knows that. So they give pretty substantial discounts if the husband and wife buy that. If you want more information on that, you can visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Call us up. We'll direct you in the right path on that, on long-term care. So then we go to taxation. All right. So now you're getting ready to retire. And the third risk is taxes. Now, for the longest time, when you're in the accumulation stage, what do? You do everything you can to reduce your taxes. You go in and you fully fund your 401k with pre-tax money. You might have been putting money into tax-deductible IRAs, or if you're self-employed, you do SEP plans like I do. So the bottom line is that what we're doing is we're putting this money aside into things that are pre-tax, okay? But what happens is, over time, we're required on some of them to pay the taxes as we pull it out. You might put it in into some type of annuity if it's non-qualified. It can grow tax-deferred until you pull it out. But the long and short of it is that our goal is to reduce our current tax and defer it. Now, the little twist on that, younger people are doing Roth IRAs and even in older people. But the idea of the Roth IRAs, you don't save taxes up front, but it grows tax-free. All right, so then we get into what should I spend down first, okay? And the reason we have to figure that out is because as our income grows, it also affects our Social Security as to whether or not it gets taxed. So my experience has been what we try to do is first off, on this taxation deal, we attempt to. I had a client yesterday that we met. He has income, and I was like, "Look, go ahead and draw. We want to go ahead and draw Social Security as soon as we can. At the maximum or your full Social Security age, you want to go ahead and pull that because one of the things people don't realize is they'll wait 4 years to get an extra $500 a month, and they just lost $100,000 in advance, and then it might take them 10 to 15 years to recoup just the the money they didn't get. Okay. And I don't know if that makes sense, but the idea is that if you can get your Social Security at 67 at $2,500 a month and you pull it for 4 years compared to 70, and then what happens is have withdrawn maybe you've received $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 worth of the number is in order to get $500 extra a month. It takes a long time to recoup all that money. And so I always tell people we get our Social Security as soon as we can. If we're not working and we know we're not going to be working, you can get it all the way down to 62, 63, something like that. Or you can go ahead and wait until full Social Security age when you're if you're still working. But I always encourage people, and this again, always, you're listening to a radio show. You need to be with someone, get specific advice. But my general rule of thumb is we try to get Social Security sooner rather than later. This also allows us to potentially not draw on our IRAs or our retirement plans, which allows those to push out as far as we can. Currently, under current tax law, you can wait to age 72 to pull that money. So we can do that. We can also start withdrawing money off of non-qualified accounts. So let's say you've got money sitting in the bank, all right, and money sitting in taxable mutual funds. Keep in mind, you have a cost basis on all that. And so you can be potentially pulling $25,000 a year on that, and hardly any of it's taxable. So here we are. We've got our cash flow plan. We got Social Security. We deplete some of our non-qualified assets. We tax defer all of our assets that we can tax defer, annuities. We can tax defer our retirement plans all the way to 72. So now what's happening is for the longest time, we are living, paying our expenses, doing everything we do. We do a reverse mortgage, so we have no house payment. I've had clients of mine that have gone for 10 years doing this kind of plan, and they don't pay any income taxes. They get their standard deductions, and they got no expenses because we've eliminated the expenses. We're pulling on non-qualified assets, and heck, they're not paying any taxes. How about that? Wouldn't that be great at retirement to not be paying any taxes? All the while their money is growing tax deferred. Now, one day, they're going to get out there and they're going to be 72. Their minimum required distribution is going to be much higher. You know why it's going to be much higher? Because they got more money. All right. And so they've deferred it out. But that's what we do. And what I do is advise people on ways. I look at taxes. If you're a high income earner, my tax bill has been my biggest expense for probably going on 30 years. All right. That I pay more in taxes than I do for any other expense. I'm always trying to cut my taxes, always trying to defer my taxes. I live by the rule of never pay taxes on money you're not currently using. All right. Because that means the money is costing you to own it. So what we try to do is defer it any way we can, get as much stuff into things like that. And once you're 59 and a half, there's no penalties anyway. So if all of your money is sitting in something that's deferred, then you're probably doing the right thing. We want to defer as much as we can. Let's put off paying the bill as long as we can and do that. So taxation is one of the big things that you need to be worried about. The next one we're going to cover is market risk. We have no idea when we're going to retire. You know, I hear people all the time, the market's up, the market's up. Should I invest? I said, well, yeah, you should always be investing. But what we need to realize is that if you retire in a declining market, all right, it changes the outcome than if you're retiring in a rising market. All right. So, for instance, people that retired in 2008 and immediately they were pulling on their accounts, if they didn't have some of their money in what I call, you know, balance type investments, bonds, stuff like that, maybe some annuities, then they were selling their accounts at a discount. And so we want to make sure that we have, I call it two buckets. All right. One of the buckets is the conservative bucket. If we have market downturns, we can pull from the stuff that didn't get hurt. And then we have our growth bucket, which when the market's up, we can pull from that if we want to. And then that way we're automatically not selling low, but we're selling high and stuff like that. So market risk comes into play. But guys, keep in mind, market risk is only one of the risks. Another risk that we have is inflation risk. And that risk seems to be a much larger risk than most people really think. Typically over a 20-year period, 22, 23-year period, you need to make twice as much income as you did just to keep up with inflation. We're going to get into all that and how you beat inflation. You can't ever beat it. What you have to do is participate in inflation. And so hopefully today's show has been helpful. We've got six things in the market risks that you need to be concerned with. We've covered the first three, which is your basically, you're getting out of debt. We talked about that. We also talked about healthcare, and we also lastly got into a little bit of the market risk. So stick with me. Our next show will continue on that. I would encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com. If you need a financial advisor, if you don't have anyone helping you with your money, that's what we do. We can help you with your money. We can give you the advice you need in order to make the right decisions on your current 401k, retirement plans, anything that you got going like that. That's what we do. Visit roymatlockjr.com, or you can call 615-843-2999 and schedule a 15-minute, you know, kind of introductory phone call. From there, we can either meet with you in person or on Zoom. Once again, thanks for listening. Again, visit roymatlockjr.com if you would like to talk. We'll talk to you next week.